Okay, we're going to continue on in Galatians, and Paul's addressing the saints there, his concerns for them, the false doctrine that abounds, and the implications of those things, the dangers of tolerating those things. And we've looked there in chapter 5 as Paul's been speaking of those. And we left off last time as Paul spoke an old proverbial saying, and one that we see used throughout Scripture in verse 9, where he said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We have to be careful. You know, there's danger to allowing these things in, whether they be, you know, on a church level or theological level or personal level. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. There's a danger. There's a danger in our doctrine. There's a danger in our practice. And this is a principle that's established through Scripture. This parable is used in oft times in Scripture. Usually leaven stands for sin, and more particularly for human efforts and human pride. And I guess when it comes down to it, that's the worst of sins. self-assurance in the eternal realm. And the Lord did use at one time speaking of how the kingdom of heaven spreads like a grain of a mustard. We saw, or like mustard, a grain of a mustard, seed of a mustard grain. And the principle there that the Lord used, that Paul uses, and of leaven, and relating as well to the twin principle of reaping and sowing and seeds. And so, to beware, to be careful. It just starts with a little thing. It could be sexual impurity, sexual immorality, theology, association, dress, our pastimes, our entertainment. I could go on and on. We spoke earlier about a young lady that one of the churches we pray for and have supported in the past that you know, I've been led astray. You know, a little leaven the whole lump. And it can be something that appears to be good. And you know, start joining hands in ecumenical efforts for good things. Maybe anti-abortion and whatever. But you need to be careful who you get close to and who you make your close associates and who you allow to influence you. And I'm sorry, but yeah, especially when you're young, and a young female probably. You know, those things can draw us away. And then she left the church. The church dealt with her and all her new friends. The hatred that I see there, that was set out against Baptists, against this church in particular, and Baptist beliefs and doctrines. Brethren, this is nothing new. You know, that should give us a little bit of peace and comfort that we're standing right, that we're in the right place. You know, these same folks, these Protestants and these Catholics that are hating on Baptists today, they were hating on Baptists, you know, centuries ago. Sometimes to the extent of drowning them and burning them at the stake. And we've not yet been called to resist unto blood, but that time may come. We can see those clouds on the horizons. And so when folks call us by the same names and make the same accusations against us that they made against our Baptist forefathers, I think we can take a little bit of assurance that perhaps we're in the right place. Perhaps we're doing the right thing, and just pray the Lord give us grace to stand. In particular, this matter of little leaven leavening the whole lump, and we left off last week by looking how the Lord used it in one particular case, and really it's the same basic principle here that Paul's addressing with the Galatians, and again has the has to do with the matter of self-sufficiency and confidence in self and human efforts. In Matthew 16, verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because they've taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning the bread, but that ye should beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And again, their doctrine was one of self-sufficiency, of good works, of following the rites and rituals, of doing all the right things, of getting your ticket punched. And it's just leaven. And it brings nothing but increased heartaches and problems and sufferings and condemnation. Prideful reliance on self, on good works, on law keeping. And so this is exactly what Paul's contending with here in Galatia. And he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We need to be careful about those things of the Pharisees and Sadducees are still here today. And they may begin with little things, you know, like decisional regeneration and Arminianism. You know, I did my part. I did this. I chose Jesus. It astounds me when I see people proclaim those things, and I too often see them do that. You know, I chose Jesus. Well, if you're one of his, no, he chose you. If you remember, the Lord had to sit his disciples down one time and say, boys, I want you to know something. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And the world of difference that's there. And this principle was illustrated and was used as a type and a picture throughout the Scriptures. Now, just a brief look at its usage in the Old Testament and its meanings there concerning the time of the Passover. And, of course, this is what it all goes back to. And, you know, our Lord's Supper was instituted at a Passover meal with unleavened bread. And the unleavened bread there symbolizing the Lord's sinless and pure body that was broken for us. In Exodus, we read concerning the Passover. And in the first month of the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread. Until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. Ye shall eat unleavened bread. So in the Passover, and when it was the initial institution of it, the initial actual Passover, where the Israelites were told to put sprinkle blood at their doorposts, and the death angel would pass over their house. It wasn't their efforts, it wasn't their work, it was the blood of that sacrificial lamb, which could in no way wise take away sin, but which symbolized the one who did it, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Passover, and as it was remembered in subsequent years, the Jews were to purge every bit of leaven throughout their house. I mean, they made a diligent effort. They would go throughout all the house. They would purge out all the leaven. And it wasn't simply a sign of sin. It was a sign of human efforts, of the work of man, as opposed to the work of God, as opposed to the blood of that sacrificial lamb. The Lord wanted to remind them, it wasn't anything you did. It wasn't the leaven of human works. It wasn't the leaven of rituals. It wasn't the leaven of law-keeping. And the Old Testament rituals themselves, the Old Testament holy days, pictured the redemption that was in Christ alone. And so the purging of the leaven, those rituals were not intended to provide the redemption themselves, but they pointed to and pictured and foreshadowed what is to come. And so beware the leaven of human works. Beware reliance on human rituals. Beware the leaven of decisional regeneration. Beware the leaven of sin as well in the Lord's churches, because the Lord, as we saw, used leaven in various senses, and Paul in particular earlier when he wrote to the Corinthians, Paul used leaven as a type of sin, and in particular of sexual immorality. And a little bit of sin defiles the whole church. It leavens the whole mass, the whole lump. So the church needs to seek to be pure as an example to others, to the young folks, not to encourage others in similar sins. You know, we can be broad-minded and seek, act like we think we're caring and hopeful and embrace a lot of these things. Actually, we're hurting people. We're hurting the youth. We're hurting the other folks in the church. We are hurting our testimony before the world. We besmirch the church before the world. And so Paul is dealing with this cancerous nature of reliance on human efforts, of works, of law-keeping. He's greatly concerned for the saints here in Galatia. He can't look at their hearts. But those who would add the leaven of human works, of human effort, of human merit, it just takes the tiniest bit of leaven. And you know what? The bread is no longer unleavened bread. And pretty soon that little bit of leaven permeates the whole loaf. You can't mix human effort and God's grace. Put a little bit of human effort in there, and it's not God's grace anymore. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 11:6, and if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't mix the two. You can't just put a little leaven in and still have unleavened bread. These are important things. These are important principles. In Romans 3, Paul wrote, Romans 3, verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law or works? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. No leaven of human works. Man is justified by God-given faith without the deeds of the law. Earlier on in Galatians, Paul wrote in chapter 2 and verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in me. I mean, if you could attain to righteousness by the law, then Christ wouldn't have had to die. That little bit of leaven, that leavens the whole lump. A little bit of leaven that really ridicules the death of Christ. That would make it of no meaning. If that were possible. Paul wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. It's nothing you did, but saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. Again, you did nothing. That little bit of leaven would ruin the whole thing. He wrote to young Titus in Titus 3 and verse 5, chapter 5. Man, I can't talk today. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. I mean, you can't mix in a little leaven. We're talking about whether, you know, true churches. A church that proclaims and teaches baptismal regeneration cannot be a true church. I can't look at the hearts of folks that are in there. There may be folks that are in there that don't believe those things, that don't trust in those things. Well, there are a lot of churches that will tell you they don't believe that even. But if you go back to their own rituals, usually you can find in the back of their own hymnals, and they'll talk about how a baby's born again when water's sprinkled on his head. I say, well, we don't believe that. Well, you've got it. You've got it there in your rituals and your practices in the back of your hymnal. Why do you do that? Why do you say that? Why do you bring that baby up there and say those things to him? Somebody might believe you. It just takes a little leaven. Some folks think, well, that's a small matter. You know, we should fellowship with everybody. You know, they all claim to be Christians, so we should embrace them as Christians, even though they think they're born again by some priest sprinkling water on their head. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and a little leaven makes the death of Christ of no effect. We can't deprecate or decrease or diminish his death. But those who are trusting in baptism are not recipients of the benefits of it. And so beware. And again, the same can be said for the little bit of things that we allow to slip into so-called Baptist churches, and the aspect of, you know, decisional regeneration, and God regenerates you based upon your decision. all these dead guys that make decisions, I just don't understand how that operates, but that's what they claim. Brother Gill said this, I'll just quote a little passage from him. He said, as a little sour leaven influences and ferments a large mass for a lump of dough and makes it of the same nature with it, so a small error in doctrine, as it may be thought to be, increases to more ungodliness, eats as doth a canker. And though a few hands may be first concerned in propagating it, and but few be infected with it. And I just think here, Brother Gill, he's talking, what happened over the years to Baptist churches? For the time when all Baptists believed basically like we do. I can show you their writings. I'm not making it up. Brother Gill was concerned. He said, just a little bit, for it's the whole mass. Just like a little bit of error may come in. And it may just be a few hands. May just be a few folks who are at first concerned in propagating it. And but few be infected with it. Yet these may soon spread the contagion throughout the whole society. You can't go to many places today and walk into a church that says Baptist over the door and not hear Arminian, pure Arminian doctrine. It wasn't always that way. It started out simple. Just a few folks started to veer away. And pretty soon it infected the whole mass. And of course it made it a whole lot easier when you had a mass of something like a convention or a conference or organized fellowships. When you had a hierarchy even amongst Baptists, seeking, I guess, to reflect Rome. Yet these may soon spread the contagion through the whole society. Wherefore errors and false teachers should be nipped in the bud and stopped in their beginnings. How inconsiderable whosoever they and their tenets may be judged to be. Say, well, it doesn't matter. It's not big, you know. That little bit of error is not going to hurt anything. But it does, and it has. And you can look back. And Brother Gill and that was almost prophetic, but of course he was just expounding upon what the Scripture tells. And then implying it to churches and so forth. And that's why sometimes you're forced to go back before the leaven was introduced. And that's why I've said before, and sometimes have to explain myself when young people are here, but I was taught by dead men. Dead men like Brother Gill. Certainly dead men like, you know, Paul and John. Dead physically. More alive today than they ever were. But I was taught by dead men. And we would do well to do that. That's why I have this up on my wall. I've shared this with you before, but I've always enjoyed this. The venerable dead are waiting in my library to entertain me and relieve me from the nonsense of the surviving mortals. You know, I learned from dead men, because those live men that were standing before me in most of those cemetery classes that I attended really didn't have a clue. Some of them did. I'm not saying everybody, but most of them didn't have a clue, particularly earlier on in the Southern Baptist and funny mental institutions. And they really didn't understand it. Oh, they had all the letters behind their names, and they could expound in Greek and Hebrew, and they didn't understand the book. The little old lady in the mountain cabin understood it better than they did. You know why? Because she knew the author. And unfortunately, I'm afraid many of them did not. And that was Paul's concern here. That's his concern here with the saints in Galatia. He can't look at their heart, but he knows the effect and the danger of a little bit of leaven. And it soon begins to draw off more and more and more until it permeates the whole thing. Now, in spite of all that, and Paul, again, can't look at their hearts, but he has concern. And we ought to when folks are in these kind of circumstances. In spite of all that, Paul holds out hope for the saints in Galatia. And sometimes I think perhaps we're too quick to wash our hands. But Paul holds out hope for the saints there in Galatia. And here's what he says in verse 10, and Lord willing, I guess we'll get into that next week. Paul says this, I have confidence in you. I have confidence in you through the Lord. Listen, if they're the Lord's, he's gonna keep them right. He's not going to let them fall away. Paul says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. The Lord will keep you on the path, on the way. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Also, these false teachers that came in here, they're going to answer. And you remember how Paul started off this epistle. But we are an angel from heaven. Preach unto any other gospel, let him be cursed. And so Paul's hope for the saints in Galatia, he knows that God knows and keeps those that are his. And in spite of all that was going on and all that seemed to be transpiring and perhaps what seemed to be on the horizon, Paul held out hope for the saints in Galatia. And our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in the Lord, and that he knows his people, and that he'll keep them, and that none will take them from his hand. Okay, we'll take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 140. Look to the Lamb of God. Number 140. Look to the Lamb of God. And if you like, you can stand as we sing this out.
For he alone is able to save you.
long look to the Lamb of God. His love will cheer and fill your heart with song. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for the privilege to gather here as your people. Lord, thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you help us to ever be wary of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Lord, help us to be careful never to count on our own strength and our own efforts. Lord, that we might purge out that old leaven, human works, and trust alone on the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to ever be on guard on the introduction of leaven into your church and in our own lives. Lord, we know that we're kept by you alone. And we pray that you might keep us true. Father, we thank you for this day. We pray for those that need your healing. Thank particular Brother Emmanuel that will be having surgery this week. For those that need your comfort. Thank you, Lord, for those that are able to join us via our broadcast, or for the opportunity to send forth your word. Others that'll listen later on during the week. Father, glorify yourself and your people. Use us to your glory. Lord, thank you for our Savior. Thank you for his atoning death. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that indeed gave us life, repentance, and faith, and brought us to hear and embrace the gospel of our salvation. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.